Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City, your Sunday night with Speed City. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting in the studio in Austin, Texas, thawing out here in Austin with the rest of our city and our state. And I got Les Kaiser on Zoom, and Jonathan Green is not going to be able to join us tonight because he was actually out in Florida doing some Trans Am work for those guys opening their season. But man,
he got his own Austin abuse before he left, so don't feel like he escaped everything.
That's right. He was here in Austin until Friday, so he was like the rest of us, lost power and all that stuff. Man, it was a giant mess here in Austin and really all across Texas. But we're not going to focus on all that because we got some fun motorsports to talk about. Oh, yeah. We got a great show.
What's the coolest thing you saw in Austin?
What's that, Les?
I said, what's the coolest video you saw here in Austin?
Coolest video? I don't know. People snow skiing down Congress Avenue?
Skiing down Turn 1 at Central of the Americas.
Oh, yeah. I did see that. I did see that one. You're right. That was pretty cool. Yeah, Circuit of the Americas was covered in snow like the rest of Austin, so that was fun to watch. But let me talk about what we got on the show tonight, because I am excited. We got a great show. We're going to talk all about the McLaren F1 launch, and that one is so anticipated by every Formula One fan because McLaren's going to the Mercedes engine. But that's not as simple as it sounds, so we got a lot to talk about with that. Of course, we had the AlphaTauri launch this last week also, so we had a good week in Formula One. And we have a couple of guests tonight. We have a young American driver, Jaden Conright, and he has a really interesting story, and we're really excited to talk to him. We'll talk to him in about a half hour at about 7:30 Austin time. And then after that, we have the boys from the Super Lap Battle that's coming to Circuit of the Americas. We got them on the show for a little bit in the last segment, so that'll be fun to talk to them. But Les Kaiser, I think I want to jump in right now and talk about Formula One, because look, when car launches start happening, when you start hearing engine sounds put out on YouTube and the liveries start to launch, that Formula One is getting close. Before you know it, they're going to be testing. And we have this weird season where we're carrying over, because of COVID, we're carrying over a lot of the same car. We're carrying over all the chassis can't change, and their engine development really hasn't changed. And a lot of the change is going to be focused on aerodynamics this year. And of course, we had the engine freeze that we talked about last week on the show. But the fact that the McLaren car launched this week is such a big deal because of that they're going to have more change than anybody. Don't you think so, Les, because of the Mercedes engine swap?
Absolutely. You know, to be honest, there were quite a few changes they had to make. You know, their aerodynamics, they're managing things between the 20 and 21 car. Their approach of spending all their tokens on the engine change was probably very wise. It's one of those things that's a different engine. The cooling involved around that engine is very different than what they had previously. You know, we comment about the motor having the turbos split on opposite sides of the valley. And so that's a very different approach than anybody else that has the impeller and compressor in one single housing. They've got it split behind, and they have the motor basically biased in between those. Interesting technology. A couple of years ago when this came up, I dug around to see if anybody else had done it. Indeed, it had been used by an industrial truck way back, like in the late 50s, I believe it was. But it was expensive and troublesome with the limited technology they had at the time. So why do we care? It's in F1. it's driving there. It's very precise in the way they're doing it. But when they took it and swapped it into this McLaren, you know, we talk about throwing an LS swap and everything. Well, here we are. We're putting a Mercedes in instead. And this is making a world of difference in the cooling and the aerodynamics package that has to be around that engine.
Yeah, think about that. I mean, number one, you've got a radically different design of the, like you said, the turbos, because you've got the one side of the turbos at the front of the motor on the Mercedes, and the other side is at the back. So you think about the way the McLaren is designed, you've got to completely change everything. And just think about it. You joke about an LS swap, but that's actually probably a pretty good comparison, because you've got to change all the wiring, all the computer. I mean, everything has to change. So it's a massive swap. And you touched on something, the tokens, right? So every team has an allotment of tokens that they can use for changes. And so what McLaren did is they said, they had to negotiate this, right? Because they have to make so many changes that they really, this wouldn't have been allowed, right? There are too many changes. It would have been, well, you need a lot more tokens than you have to make all the changes you need to make to swap the engine. So they negotiated, and they also said, Formula One's just said, they're going to watch very carefully to see all the changes, that they're not trying to sneak in some advantages. But the bottom line is they are almost coming out of this with a new car. They've still got the 2020 chassis, but there are so many radical changes that it's going to be really interesting to watch. And really, you think less, okay, McLaren was doing really good last year. They were third in the constructor standings last year. Swap in the Mercedes engine and boom, they're going to be competing for, you know, they're going to maybe leapfrog Red Bull. But I don't think that's going to be the case because of what we were just talking about with those tokens, right? Because they're not going to be able to make some of the changes that they need to make, some of the other teams are going to make. So I don't know. I don't know how, we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they are all of a sudden, you know, competing with Red Bull every single race, or maybe they're even going to be faster than the Red Bull car. And then what happens with Ferrari now that Ferrari's had some time to get their engine situation figured out? So this is really going to be a fun Formula One season to watch.
Absolutely. You know, the tokens probably deserve a bit more explanation about that. And that is really kind of the tokens were a way to allow the team some developmental opportunity between 20 and 21, but not to go crazy. This is the kid going to the arcade. You get 14 tokens, and this is what you've got. And so the tokens were specifically used to limit and quantify the development that they can invest into the 21 version of their car. Now realize that whole power swap that we're seeing McLaren go through is very significant. And so it's probably the most significant thing. I'll say it is. It is definitely the most significant thing I've heard any of the teams going through. And so that's one of the negotiations that John spoke about took place to get things up into that point where we're going to allow that to happen, and they'll use their development tokens. They don't get something extra because they changed brands or what have you. So that's the control mechanism around the 20 to 21 car and them specifically changing powertrain.
Yeah. And, you know, you touched on it, but I want to elaborate a little bit in the cooling. Remember how Mercedes car struggled last year at some of the hotter races. So maybe that is, if there is an Achilles heel to that engine, and I don't know if it was just the aerodynamics combined or if it was part of the engine, who knows? Nobody, you know, only the Mercedes team members know that. But what if that's part of it? You know, maybe that is something that McLaren will struggle with this year also. And think about what they had to do to the aerodynamics, to, you know, radically change and learn all that stuff. You know, all the CFD time, all the wind tunnel time that they had to spend tokens on, and time and engineering prowess, which McLaren has a lot of. I mean, if anybody can pull this off, I would think it would be McLaren. But I think that's something that we need to watch for. I'm wondering if they can manage that. Also, and thinking about the way all of the teams are going to have to deal with, what about the downforce. What they've decided to do, Formula One's decided to reduce the overall downforce on the cars. And all of this, you know, is transitional, right? With a lot of the changes that were going to happen that didn't because of COVID and all this. But the barge boards, right? The way they taper closer to the back wheels back there. And because like the McLaren car on launch looked more like the, it didn't look radical, right? So, but the overall, the point is the overall aerodynamics are going to drop. So, you know, they have to come up with a new way of dealing with all that. So it's really going to be, you know, it seems like, okay, we're not really going to change the car, but there actually is quite a bit that we have to change, that these teams are all going to have to change and we're going to get to see. And that's going to be a really interesting thing to watch and to see how each team, and you're going all the way up and down the grid. We talk about Ferrari fixing their engine problem from last year, which was a debacle, not only for them, but for their teams that bought their power unit, including our favorite Haas F1 team. But so Ferrari is going to have to be dealing with all of that. And you know, I was thinking about the Haas team, Les, and wondering how they are going to come through this, because we had Gunther on the show last week, right? Dave O'Neill went out and talked to him out of North Carolina, and he talked about aerodynamics, which is obviously that's what they can do. They can spend most of their time on. But I just wonder, is this an opportunity? Because, you know, the car, you know, the 19 car was a debacle, right? They never could get it even closer. Last year, it seemed like they made a little progress. And I don't know if we have a good Ferrari power unit in the Haas car, and maybe they, you know, they've got some team members from Ferrari, right? So maybe they've got some aerodynamic changes too. So who knows how this could happen?
I think we'll see a lot of things. Like I said, the barge board reducing is significant, and every single team is facing that. The unique part for Haas, we've got two new drivers. We're in the aspect that I looked at it, I feel like, yes, they're good drivers. They're underlings coming up the series and getting into F1. But I feel like that language, that translation from driver to the team is probably not going to be as strong as we were used to with Grosjean and K-Mag. And so I think we're much more data dependent than we were with the previous drivers when we discuss Haas F1. I don't know. That's one thing. I'm not sure that's going to be a good thing or not. And data dependency can cut both ways.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our first break. And after this message and after the next segment, remember, we've got our young driver guests coming on, and you're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, back after a quick break.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Super Lap Battle USA is back at Circuit of the Americas March 6th and 7th. It's the ultimate time attack challenge, where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned track-built cars, featuring the GridLife Touring Cup, Lone Star Track Ride-Alongs, food trucks, a Just Vibes car show, and more. Plus, the Life Motorsports Nissan GTR is back to defend its time of 207-181. It's a whole weekend of family fun. Tickets are $10 online, $20 at the box office. Find out more at SuperLapBattleUSA.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. You can take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We were talking about the McLaren team. I got a little more to talk about. Les, we didn't talk about the drivers because I know it's not new news, of course, but I am so looking forward to having Daniel Ricciardo and Lando Norris. I mean, just watching the launch, those two guys pulling up in the cars, having fun, that is going to be something to look forward to massively in 2021 for sure.
Oh, I think they are the biggest and friendliest personalities in the paddock. And the pair of them together is going to be astounding for McLaren and entertaining for the rest of us.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, also going back to Haas F1, we had some great news this week where Pietro Fittipaldi is going to stay with the team. He's going to continue to serve as Haas F1's official test and reserve driver for 2021. And that makes his third season with them. And I don't think that surprises anybody after watching the way he filled in for Grosjean. Don't you agree? He looked great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got to know that was a player and a lot of consideration of where he was going to land this year. And there is that veteran seat of your pants translation that I think that is his key deliverable.
Yeah, no doubt. And I heard, did you watch the launch? I mean, it was like an hour and a half long, but one thing that stood out to me was when Lando Norris was talking about having Ricciardo as someone he could learn from. And he said, yeah, it was great having Carlos, but he said that the fact that Ricciardo has, you know, been on podiums and won races, and he just, you know, I'm glad he said it that way. I just, not that I don't love the competition between the drivers. I just think that's going to be fun. I think those guys are going to be.
But I think so. In the opportunities that we've had, Daniel Ricciardo is very literate, very well spoken about the field. We talked about Haas and their data. Daniel is very in tune with the engineering and the speak that they need to hear, as well as look at the numbers. That's, like I said, that's just something I think he brings.
Yep. Another story before we get to the AlphaTauri launch. The Netflix Drive to Survive, Formula One Drive to Survive, is going to return, and they announced the date. It's March 19th for Season 3, and you know, last year, because it was such a crazy year from every aspect, right? Everything from, were we even going to get a season? When's the season going to start? To having way more races than we thought and having them at some fantastic venues and some of the, you know, surprising race winners with Gasly. And it was really, in my mind, it was a great season. And I can't wait to see the Netflix season on 2020.
I tell you what, I don't think anybody would have bet that last season was going to be interesting. The good thing about that is it comes out a week before the season actually gets hot on track, and we can probably just, you know, watch the entire thing before the first race of the year and be all caught up.
Yep.
Binge watch.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be on everybody's watch list on Netflix. So, and I think that it's been very successful. Actually, I think Formula One called it hugely successful, hugely popular was their quote. But anyway, it was great.
I've heard, you know, I'll say I've met several folks who, you know, kind of happened across it and they watched a little bit of it, but then they really got hooked and they wound up watching the whole thing. I've got a neighbor that is absolutely started out, absolutely was not motorsport interested. She and I talk bicycles. That's what we talk about when we're, but she had next to no interest in it, but that she was curious and she watched that. And then she actually started getting into it. And she and her husband would occasionally tune into the shows now and also watch the races. I think that's a pretty monumental task, nothing on she or her husband, but I think that's pretty monumental when you have somebody who has not much interest in this, gravitating into it. And I've heard that kind of response several times. So I am absolutely happy with what it's doing.
Yeah, I think it's going to be awesome. Let's talk about the AlphaTauri launch, Les. First of all, what'd you think of the look?
I like it. I like the way so many of them are getting. I wish we could change the front spoiler, quite honestly, but I still like the way things are showing up. The flowing, it looks modern to me. To me, some of the others started looking kind of dated, and I like the way AlphaTauri has kind of stepped up their game. It looks modern. It's artsy. Cool colors.
I like the colors, and I like the paint job, the livery. Although the car itself didn't, I mean, it looks pretty similar to last year's car too. But you're right, it does. The livery looks
the head on.
What's that?
I like the head on view right there. The big nostrils and the side pods.
Yeah,
look great.
It does. It does look good, and I think that is, you know, there's, you know, comparing this to the McLaren launch, there's just not that much, but. But thinking about how well they did last year, you know, their goals, they came out and said that they want to be, you know, team principal Franz Tost said he wants to be top of the midfield as the target. And, you know, after last year, I don't think that's a crazy statement.
No, I think that'll be good. I think that's a good one. I think that's a rational place for expectations. He'll be solid.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's going to really shake up the midfield. I think the midfield is going to be much more entertaining even than it was last year.
Yeah, and the back of that car on the AlphaTauri is basically identical in terms of gearbox and rear suspension, which would in turn was the rear of the 2019 RB, the Red Bull RB15. And but they AlphaTauri used their 2-token development spend on the new nose and the new front suspension. So, you know, that nose, the underside looks kind of hollowed out. And so maybe changing the pickup points for the suspension. So that's what it looked like. That's kind of the gist of what I've seen out there. But they are also, I mean, I don't know. Does that look like to you dramatic change?
I think honestly, what makes it look so much better is the paint scheme and the way it flows on the different parts of the body.
Yeah.
To me, it looks more aggressive, and not so much painted by a third grader. Or me.
All right. I'm with you on that one. So what else, Les? What else in the Formula One week has struck you? Because, I mean, those were the big news stories, of course, were the launches. But I know you were you had some other things you dropped in our show, Doc. In fact, one of them were talking about Elon Musk. That was a pretty cool story about Elon Musk. It wasn't Formula One related, but it was Austin, Texas related.
Elon Musk, you know, I'm not sure how long it's going to take for us to accept him as an Austinite, but I drove by the Cybertruck facility a couple of weeks ago, and before that, it had been a couple of weeks prior. I will say that I know some guys that are working that project, and they are working just about 7x24 to get this knocked out. Visually huge differences in 2-week periods that I saw. Elon is touting Austin as the big boom town right now for the next 50 years. He has invested heavily. He's got the boring company, you know, that tunneling technology company. He's got the Cybertruck facility here. He's got, a couple of things going on. SpaceX is just up the road, a little ways from Austin.
Down the road.
On the far south tip of Texas, Boca Chica is one of the test facilities for the engines they've been using for SpaceX. He even bought a home here in not far from the radio studio. So he's putting some time into this, putting a lot of money and investment into it. There's a lot of reasons. Austin is friendly to businesses. He is pretty environmentally sound in his thinking and processing. And you've got a lot of great tech savvy folks here in the Austin area. When you look at the different manufacturing companies, you know, Da Vinci Technologies is here. You've got Dell, you've got, you know, Raytheon was here, Trecor. There's just a whole lot of things, but that is, he's got a big skill set to draw on with the technology world here.
Well, the quote though that really kind of set Austin abuzz was he said that Austin is going to be the biggest boom town that America has seen in 50 years, at least, he said, mega boom. And you know where he said this, right? What podcast?
Rogan's.
On Joe Rogan's podcast. Yeah. I don't think there was marijuana smoked this time, but it was entertaining as always. But yeah, I just thought that was a pretty cool story about Austin saying, I mean, we know that Austin's been on the list of you know, fastest growing cities, best place to start a business and all that stuff, which is one of the reasons I think Formula One was attracted here, because Austin is such an unusual, it doesn't fit the mold of, first, it doesn't fit the mold of Texas. It doesn't fit the mold of many other large cities. It didn't have its own professional sports team. We do now with soccer, or we're about to. But yeah, I thought that was pretty amazing that he said that this is going to be a boom town, the biggest boom town in 50 years in the United States. I thought that was a crazy.
Well, you know, and I got to say, if you're going to build a truck and you want to be taken seriously, do you want one built in California or you want one built in Texas?
All right. Well, we got to take a break. But when we come back, we have our first guest. We have a young driver from California, Jaden Conright. I'm really excited to talk to him. He's got a cool story. Listen to Speed City. We're in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities. And when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky. The source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing. WindingRoadRacing.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Talk 1370.
Hi there. My name's Derek Bell. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're talking Formula One, and we're going to shift gears, and we're going to bring on a young American driver from California who has been in the FIA Formula 4 Series, FIA Formula 3, finished third back in 2018, and is making a shift to the sports car world and competed in the Porsche Carrera Cup Series in Italy, a little bit in 2019, a little bit last year. And if you're not familiar with the Porsche Carrera Cup Series, it's the highest level of that Porsche Cup Series. And that is now coming to North America, and he's hoping to get a ride in that. He's working on that. We want to welcome to the show Jaden Conright. Jaden, welcome to Speed City.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. And so you're out in California. Where are you in California?
I'm in the Bay Area, Fremont area. I mean, if you just were talking about Tesla, I'm there where they are now. So, yeah, if you look up the Tesla factory, that's around where I live. But yeah, no, I'm located in Northern California.
All right. Well, let's talk about how you got started in racing. Was this something in your family? Was your mom and dad, are they motorsport fans? Or how did you get started in racing?
Well, my father was always a motorsports fan. And it was through a coworker, actually. It was, I was seven at the time. I was in elementary school, and I was like most kids, it was like, oh, well, I mean, all right, here's an incentive. If you do better in school, then, hey, you get to go to the go-kart track and stuff like that. So actually, I started in quarter midgets when I was seven. We got introduced to it through a family friend, or a coworker actually of my father. So went up there and tried it. I mean, I crashed on that demo day, but I loved it. And then signed up for training. And then I basically just did it for fun. It was kind of aiming to be a professional was like something I wanted. But I mean, you know, with parents and just how racing is as a sport, they're like, oh no, yeah, it's just for fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just something, keep grades up. You'll go to college. It's all fine. And then one thing led to another, and then got a scholarship at 14, moved to single seaters, and then kind of just been riding that ever since. I mean, did single seaters up till 2018. Then 2019, I switched to sports cars because there was a better opportunity with the Porsche Carrera Cup in Italy. And then a few Super Cup rounds last year, did the Carrera Cup race at Le Mans also, was the last one I did. And then, yeah, no, just riding it out. It was kind of like, it was like a hobby slash like recreational thing just to give me something to focus on as a kid. And then I guess we were able to do good enough that here we are now.
Well, I say you've done good enough. I was talking to, I know you've been talking to the guys here in Austin at More Speed, David Moore, and I was talking to him and he said, this guy is the real deal. This young man is not only a fantastic driver, because he said, you are fast. He said, but that you've got some of the intangibles that you really need to be a good driver. And by the way, I got to see the new Cup car in the More Speed facility yesterday, and I got to do a full walk around with the guys. And so I've gotten to see that car before you did, probably, because I think it just hit More Speed. I think that is, it's really, there's quite a few changes over the cars from the past. That looks like a pretty exciting Cup car for this year.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even got to see it. I mean, I bet you guys are probably some of the first in the world to see it, because I think since the U.S. Championship is starting first, that, I mean, you guys get it first before even the Europeans, because, I mean, it just goes in the order of when things start. So, I mean, I've seen some of the specs of the car, and it's definitely, it's going to be a big step up from the 991.2 Cup cars, because those are already fast. And this new car is going to be very, very fast. I'm very curious to see what kind of lap times that it'll be able to run.
Jayden, some of the things that I've seen, and so, yeah, the Carrera is the top of the crew, but some of the things that I see in that, in the way it's delivered, we were looking and reviewing some of the information on it, whether it has ABS or not, and some of the different components. In the series that you've already been in, how does that compare in whether it comes with ABS or some of those components?
Well, I think before it was kind of more down to what the championship wanted, but for like the Italian one, they decided to use the ABS system. I mean, but like this past year when I did stuff in Super Cup and along those lines, then since that's directly under Porsche Motorsports and they run the series, I mean, we had no ABS or none of that fun stuff. And the main thing that I'm used to that you don't have in the US is that we do standing starts in all of the championships in Europe. So I think all of those like little details, it's like we all use the same car, but then like race distance, what tires you use, and then like especially ABS and standing starts is all kind of down to the discretion of the various championships.
So the car you're in this year does not have ABS, is that correct?
The 991.2 I ran in 2020 didn't have ABS. I'm still 100% not sure about I haven't got to see the new rules for the 992, so I'm not exactly sure myself, but on my side I like the cars without ABS, because I mean it leaves a bit more for the driver to do. It helps differentiate skill level, and I mean it, even in terms of understanding, it's like when you don't have a computer assist you there, it's like you feel like you understand another aspect of driving the car with a certain tire, because it's like, oh okay, I feel this in the brakes, as opposed to okay, I'm just gonna let the ABS save me and just push the pedal all the way to the floor.
Yeah. Well,
Jayden, that's awesome. Well, I'm with you on that. I love more of the driver involved. The virtual background behind me is my garage at the house. I've got a project I'm working on for somebody, and I love that air-cooled 911, what it does, how few electronics are on it.
I saw the new car has ABS, and I know that that's an option, but I noticed this car does have ABS. I was asking the knowledgeable young man who was giving me a tour of that car, and he said it has ABS, and that not all of them do. But hey, Jayden, we have a caller on the line, And he says he knows you and is a big fan of yours and wanted to talk to you. We want to welcome to the show Willie T. Ribs. Willie, welcome back to Speed City, buddy.
What's going on? I mean, isn't it supposed to be the other way around? I'm supposed to be his fan?
How you doing, kid?
I'm doing great, Willie. Thanks for thanks for just joining the call. It's a huge surprise.
Well, I wasn't going to miss it as much. You know, I made a phone call to Porsche last week, and I told them, I said, Mercedes is making you boys look bad. That they got Lewis Hamilton, and you guys need Conrad. You know, we don't want Porsche to be the rednecks of Germany. So he got it. He got the message. And first of all, congratulations, kid. I mean, you're doing a phenomenal job, and especially going overseas. I went there when I was 21, and I went there for one reason. I was being Formula One. So it was a great experience. What I learned in 1 year in Europe would take me 5 years to learn here. So great job, and you know, you're going fast as hell, and you even got a super license, right?
I don't have the license, but I had some of the points to get the license. I had 1/4 of my points after F3, so nice. I was on my way to getting a super license.
Yeah, well, just keep it up. You'll have it real soon. And as young as you are, you'll be ready to jump, you know, right into the big time. And whether it's in Indy cars or whether it's in sports cars. But I who was talking about ABS and ABS when I was racing was your left foot. on the brake, telemetry was your ass. So that's what it was in those days. And what the technology they've got now is in the sport is incredible.
Well, Jaden, I got to ask you. We got Willie on the line. I mean, Willie struggled with the race coming up through, and we know his story. It's really an incredible story. But I know that your dad's African American and your mom's Asian American, so you're the perfect American, it sounds like to me. But have you struggled at all with race? Have you seen those issues?
Yeah. I mean, most of my racing has been in Europe, and honestly, now I mean, it's like different. But I mean, at the same time, I think it's like the how it is. It's like if you're fast, you're fast, and that's how it is. And I think that's how it should be because it's a sport. If you're good at the sport, everybody respects you. If you're not good at the sport, it doesn't matter who you are or how wealthy your family is. People just joke around about you because it's just, if you're fast, you're fast. If you're a good racer, you're a good racer. So, I mean, I've been treated very well in all the places I've raced. So thankfully.
Well, Willie, we can thank you for a lot of that right there.
Well, you know, and when I was racing in England, it was 1977. Your parents were probably young, pretty young, long before you were born. But that was the same experience I had there. When I was in England, it was a great experience. And it was all about speed and how fast you were. And nothing else mattered. The color of your skin did not matter. And it was a great experience. I wouldn't have come back to the United States if I hadn't, you know, run out of money, and I would have stayed. But the experience I got racing, you know, against Nigel Mansell and racing and meeting the people from Bernie Ecclestone to Gordon Murray to Herbie Blesch, the connections were just terrific. And that was the reason I went.
Well, Jaden, I want to ask you a question about about this upcoming season, because I know that...
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipe since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Talk 1370.
Hi there, my name's Derek Bell. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're talking Formula One, and we're going to shift gears, and we're going to bring on a young American driver from California who has been in the FIA Formula 4 Series, FIA Formula 3, finished third back in 2018, and is making a shift to the sports car world and competed in the Porsche Carrera Cup Series in Italy a little bit in 2019, a little bit last year. And if you're not familiar with the Porsche Carrera Cup Series, it's the highest level of that Porsche Cup Series. And that is now coming to North America, and he's hoping to get a ride in that. He's working on that. We want to welcome to the show Jaden Conright. Jaden, welcome to Speed City.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. And so you're out in California. Where are you in California?
I'm in the Bay Area, Fremont area. I mean, if you just were talking about Tesla, I'm there where they are now. So, yeah, if you will look up the Tesla factory, that's around where I live. But yeah, no, I'm located in Northern California.
All right. Well, let's talk about how you got started in racing. Was this something in your family? Was your mom and dad, are they motorsport fans? Or how did you get started in racing?
Well, my father was always a motorsports fan. And it was through a coworker, actually. It was... I was seven at the time. I was in elementary school, and I was like most kids, it was like, oh, well, I mean, all right, here's an incentive. If you do better in school, then, hey, you get to go to the go-kart track and stuff like that. So actually, I started in quarter midgets when I was seven. We got introduced to it through a family friend or a coworker, actually, of my father. So went up there and tried it. I mean, I crashed on that demo day, but I loved it. And then signed up for training. And then I basically just did it for fun. It was kind of aiming to be a professional was like something I wanted. But I mean, you know, with parents and just how racing is as a sport, they're like, oh no, yeah, it's just for fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just something, keep grades up. You'll go to college. It's all fine. And then one thing led to another, and then got a scholarship at 14, moved to single seaters, and then kind of just been riding that ever since. I mean, did single seaters up till 2018. Then 2019, I switched to sports cars because there was a better opportunity with the Porsche Carrera Cup in Italy. And then a few Super Cup rounds last year, did the Carrera Cup race at Le Mans also, was the last one I did. And then, yeah, no, just riding it out. It was kind of like, it was like a hobby slash like recreational thing just to give me something to focus on as a kid. And then we were able to do good enough that here we are now.
Well, I say you've done good enough. I know you've been talking to the guys here in Austin at More Speed, David Moore, and I was talking to him, and he said, this guy is the real deal. This young man is not only a fantastic driver, because he said you are fast, he said, but that you've got some of the intangibles that you really need to be a good driver. And by the way, I got to see the new Cup car in the Moore Speed facility yesterday, and I got to do a full walk around with the guys. And so I've gotten to see that car before you did, probably, because I think it just hit Moore Speed. There's quite a few changes over the cars from the past. That looks like a pretty exciting Cup car for this year.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even got to see it. I mean, I bet you guys are probably some of the first in the world to see it, because I think since the U.S. Championship is starting first, you guys get it first before even the Europeans, because, I mean, it just goes in the order of when things start. So, I mean, I've seen some of the specs of the car, and it's definitely, it's going to be a big step up from the 991.2 Cup cars, because those are already fast, and this new car is going to be very, very fast. I'm very curious to see what kind of lap times that it'll be able to run.
Jayden, some of the things that I've seen, and so, yeah, the Carrera is the top of the crew, but some of the things that I see in that, in the way it's delivered, we were looking and reviewing some of the information on it, whether it has ABS or not, and some of the different components. In the series that you've already been in, how does that compare in whether it comes with ABS or some of those components?
Well, I think before it was kind of more down to what the championship wanted, but for like the Italian one, they decided to use the ABS system. I mean, but like this past year when I did stuff in Super Cup and along those lines, then since that's directly under Porsche Motorsports and they run the series, I mean, we had no ABS or none of that fun stuff. And the main thing that I'm used to that you don't have in the U.S. is that we do standing starts in all of the championships in Europe. So I think all of those like little details, it's like we all use the same car, but then like race distance, what tires you use, and then like especially ABS and standing starts is all kind of down to the discretion of the various championships.
So the car you're in this year does not have ABS, is that correct?
The 991.2 I ran in 2020 didn't have ABS. I'm still 100% not sure about I haven't got to see the new rules for the 992, so I'm not exactly sure myself, but on my side, I like the cars without ABS, because I mean, it leaves a bit more for the driver to do. It helps differentiate skill level. And I mean, even in terms of understanding, it's like when you don't have a computer assist you there, it's like you feel like you understand another aspect of driving the car with a certain tire, because it's like, oh, okay, I feel this in the brakes, as opposed to, okay, I'm just going to let the ABS save me and just push the pedal all the way to the floor.
Well, Jayden, that's awesome. Well, I'm with you on that. I love more of the driver involved. The virtual background behind me is my garage at the house. I've got a project I'm working on for somebody, and I love that air-cooled 911, what it does, how, you know, how few electronics are on it.
I saw the new car has ABS, and I know that that's an option, but I noticed this car does have ABS. I was asking the knowledgeable young man who was giving me a tour of that car, and he said it has ABS, and that not all of them do. But hey, Jayden, we have a caller on the line, and he says he knows you and is a big fan of yours and wanted to talk to you. We want to welcome to the show Willie T. Ribs. Willie, welcome back to Speed City, no. Buddy.
What's going on? Isn't it supposed to be the other way around? I'm supposed to be his fan?
How you doing, kid?
I'm doing great, Willie. Thanks for thanks for just joining the call. It's a huge surprise.
Well, I wasn't going to miss it as much. I made a phone call to Porsche last week, and I told them, I said, Mercedes is making you boys look bad. That they got Lewis Hamilton, and you guys need Conrad. We don't want Porsche to be the rednecks of Germany. So he got it. He got the message. And first of all, congratulations, kid. I mean, you're doing a phenomenal job, and especially going overseas. I as you know, I went there when I was 21, And I went there for one reason, that was to be in Formula One. So, you know, it was a great experience. What I learned in 1 year in Europe would take me 5 years to learn here. So, great job. And, you know, you're going fast as hell. And you even got a super license, right?
I don't have the license, but I had some of the points to get the license. I only needed, I had 1/4 of my points after F3. So nice. I was on my way to getting a super license.
Yeah, well, just keep it up. You'll have it real soon. And as young as you are, you'll be ready to jump, you know, right into the big time. And whether it's in Indy cars or whether it's in sports cars. But I who was talking about ABS and, hey, ABS when I was racing was your left foot. on the brake, telemetry was your ass. So that's what it was in those days. And what the technology they've got now is in the sport is incredible.
Well, Jaden, I got to ask you. We got Willie on the line. I mean, Willie struggled with the race coming up through, and we know his story. It's really an incredible story. But I know that your dad's African American and your mom's Asian American, so you're the perfect American, it sounds like to me. But have you struggled at all with race? Have you seen those issues?
Yeah. I mean, most of my racing has been in Europe, and honestly, no, I mean, it's like different, but I mean, at the same time, I think it's like the how it is. It's like if you're fast, you're fast, and that's how it is. And I think that's how it should be because it's a sport. If you're good at the sport, everybody respects you. If you're not good at the sport, it doesn't matter who you are or who, how wealthy your family is. People just joke around about you because it's just, if you're fast, you're fast. If you're a good racer, you're a good racer. So, I mean, I've been treated very well in all the places I've raced. So thankfully.
Well, Willie, we can thank you for a lot of that right there.
Well, you know, and when I was racing in England, it was 1977. Your parents were probably young, pretty young, long before you were born. But that was the same experience I had there. When I was in England, it was a great experience. And it was all about speed and how fast you were. And nothing else mattered. The color of your skin did not matter. And it was a great experience. I wouldn't have come back to the United States if I hadn't, you know, run out of money, and I would have stayed. But the experience I got racing, you know, against Nigel Mansell and racing and meeting the people from Bernie Ecclestone to Gordon Murray to Herbie Blesch, the connections were just terrific. And that was the reason I went.
Well, Jaden, I want to ask you a question about this upcoming season, because I know that that you guys are trying to get all the sponsorship stuff together and trying to get the team ready to go because it's right around the corner. And, you know, I want to put out the plug. Anybody out there, you know, anybody that's looking to sponsor a really up and coming young driver. This is the guy, right? You guys are trying to get it all put together right now.
Yeah, and that's the goal. I mean, I was lucky enough. I actually got called to do the Michelin Pilot Race in GT4 at Sebring last year, and that was a great opportunity. But I mean, yeah, we're just looking to put everything together because, like, even like what Willie said with when he was in Europe, it just comes down to the financial back, unfortunately, because race cars aren't cheap. So, I mean, I definitely love to come back to the U.S. and then put my foot back in the door at home. Like you said, I mean, I'm the perfect mix of everything as an American. So, no, I'd love to come back home and then make a wave here.
Heck yeah. And, Willie, we got to find this guy some sponsors and make this ride happen this year.
Well, with everything that's happening in this country now, there's no excuses. There is no excuses from the manufacturers. I don't care whether it's Porsche or General Motors or Chevrolet or Ford. You got no more excuses, corporate America. All right? It's been proven. And Lewis Hamilton's done it, right? I've done it. Bubba Wallace is in NASCAR doing it right now. There's no excuses. And as much money as African Americans put into this economy and into corporate America, I don't want to hear any. I don't want to hear anything but yes. And I will keep the pressure on.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Jaden, you got a man in your corner that I think can probably help someone get this done. That's awesome. But well, Jaden,
hey, I got to ask Willie.
Yeah, go ahead. Willie,
what are your driving plans for 21, buddy?
You know, there's a scene in Godfather 2, I think, or 3, and it was Al Pacino, and he got out of the business, and he made a statement when they called him back in. He says, right when I thought I was getting out, I got drugged back in. I don't know if anybody, Jaden, you're probably too young to remember that, but
I remember that.
You remember that scene?
Absolutely.
Well, I got a call from Ray Everham, and this was months ago, 3 or 4 months ago, maybe longer. And he says, we're getting ready to start a new series. It's going to be called the Superstar Series. And it's Tony Stewart, myself, meaning Ray Everham, and Andrew Montag. And we are going to create 6 races. It's going to be 12 drivers. You're our third pick, Tony Stewart, because he's the founder of the series, or co-founder, will be one of the drivers. Bill Elliott, Bobby Labonte, Mark Webber from Formula One, Paul Tracy, Elio Castroneves, Tony Kanaan, Ernie Francis, right out of Trans Am, African-American kid, and the last... entry and the last pick has been Michael Waltrip from NASCAR. SRX will have for the first time in history of any major racing event, 2 African Americans on the same track at the same time. That'd be myself and Ernie Francis Jr. Only Ernie's 22 or 23. I'm 66. Now, picture this. Him and everyone's age in between, from Labonte to Bill Elliott. Elliott's the next oldest. I think Bill's maybe a couple of months younger than me. So it's going to be the old lions versus the young lions. In fact, Marco Andretti just got announced. So, in fact, and he said, I got a message from Marco Andretti. He says, wow, can't wait to race with you guys. He says, I've never done this. This is not my sandbox. I said, cat litter in a sandbox. So you ain't going to be in a sandbox, son.
Willie, that is going to be so much fun to watch you. Well, guys, we are out of time for this segment. Jaden Conright, listen for that name. Jaden, we'll make sure we put out all your stuff on our social media so everybody knows where to find you, your website, jadenconright.com, all that stuff. And we wish you the best of luck, and we'll try to help you get some sponsorship and get you rolling this year in the Porsche Carrera Cup.
Yeah, thanks, boys, and thanks, Willie, for coming on as a fan. I think I still feel like it should be the other way around, but I hope we can get stuff sorted out, and hopefully I could see everyone listening in on at the racetrack sometime soon this year.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Jaden. Thanks,
all
Willie.
Right. Thanks. All right. Hey, great. Hey, keep the hammer down, Jaden.
All right. We'll be back after this break. Thanks a lot, guys.
Super Lab. Lap Battle USA is back at Circuit of the Americas March 6th and 7th. It's the ultimate time attack challenge, where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned track-built cars, featuring the GridLife Touring Cup, Lone Star Track Ride-Alongs, food trucks, a Just Vibes car show, and more. Plus, the Life Motorsports Nissan GTR is back to defend its time of 207-181. It's a whole weekend of family fun. Tickets are $10 online, $20 at the box office. Find out more at SuperLapBattleUSA.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
This is Alex Gurney. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we are very excited to have our next guest because there is a really cool event coming to Circuit of the Americas March 5th through the 7th. Super Lap Battle, and we want to welcome Cuban back to the show. Cuban, welcome back to Speed City.
Speed City, I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me. Twice before an event this year? I mean, man, what is it? Do I get three next year?
Well, I'll back. We'll see. Yeah. Come on now.
Hey, well, just in case somebody missed the last segment, tell everybody all about what Super Lap Battle is.
Absolutely. So first off, thanks for having us back again, guys. We really appreciate you. You've supported us a lot. I mean, I could tell you guys love motorsports and you could tell we love motorsports. So Super Lap Battle Circuits of the America is the biggest time attack event in the United States. It was made to give our grassroots guys a Formula One experience for what they love. It's something that is very rare in grassroots motorsports. You guys have been in motorsports forever. You understand us lowly grassroots guys get back-end track days, get our little competitions. Well, the guys, our whole team, our fearless leader, Jason, that you've talked to many a time, he wanted to put on an experience for all of the grassroots guys. But not just them, an experience for fans to understand what the sport is. So for anyone listening that doesn't know, time attack in the simplest form is perpetual qualifying. If you guys are wheel-to-wheel guys, you know that on qualifying day, you're going 10 tenths to give yourself the best starting position. Doesn't matter if it's a 24-hour race or a one-hour sprint. You want to be in the best place. Well, time attack is you versus the clock. It doesn't matter if it's the first lap of the first session. If you're broken the whole event except for the last lap of the last session, the fastest time counts. And it brings a lot of drama because we have guys building cars to the tilt who end up having issues because when you build a car that deep, they don't even put a lap down for most of the event, then all of a sudden put down the fastest lap of the event. And it's exciting for us. But also to bring motorsports guys in, we have a touring car series, GridLife Touring Cup. They're bringing their wheel-to-wheel series for the second year.
Cool.
They'll have a practice session, a qualifying session, and I believe three or four races through the weekend. If that's not your cup of tea, Lone Star Drift. They're having a drift demo in the support paddock along with ride-alongs. If you love beautiful cars, Just Vibes will have their car show there this year, along with the food trucks and just the overall fun of being back in motorsports in the United States after the world fell apart. Number five, the first Cars and Coffee that COTA has had since the pandemic will be there on Sunday. So you know it's going to be blown up.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and so this, I mean, I could think of people that are motorsport fans loving it, car fans, and just somebody wanting to do something fun for that weekend. It's something that's totally different from going to whatever event you've ever been to, because this is a thing that's very unique, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. We try to bring as many motorsport related things together. We are obviously a time attack organization. It's what we love, but we're more than that, motorsports people. And anyone who's been in grassroots long enough knows it's a family event. This isn't IMSA. This isn't NASCAR. We don't have multi-billion dollar teams. This is husband and wife working their butts off to get to the event. This is kids wrenching with their dads. This is family members coming to support. And it gives people like me who love motorsports a chance to bring my family family into it, for them to see what we love. We're not at some backroom track where it takes 2 hours to get there. It's in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing around. Though I still do that, don't get me wrong. But I don't expect the public to just on a whim say, I want to go to Button Willow, California, that is 2 hours away from anything and smells like dirty cow. Amazing track. It smells like dirty cow. Where
you know, what I thought was so cool about it is get to walk through all the garages. That wasn't anything special. You can get up and get near the front edges of the garages, see everything going on, meeting several of the drivers and competitors there. There were a lot of guys building theirs in one and two car garages at the house. And so, you know, these are grassroots guys. You know, I'm sure there's some big budgets mixed in there, but what really got my heart into this is seeing the creativity, what they do to their cars, the fact that they're, you know, they're ordinary guys like you probably live by in their one or two car garages knocking out some wickedly fast vehicles.
100%. And even if you see shop names, like, guys, I run a shop for a living. Let's just be clear. Just because we run a shop does not mean we have $1 million. We budget this. We pull it out of our pocket when we want to get there. You will see some big names that people will see as, oh, this must be a multi-million dollar team, when really it's these guys just working their butts off. And like you said, the experience. I always tell people, I'm a Southern California native. I've been going to the Long Beach Grand Prix for 20 straight years, except for this last one, it was canceled. You have to pay to get into the Indy paddock. You have to pay to be near these drivers. Yes, IMSA lets you walk in, but they're still gated off and roped off. You can't really touch anything. We have a pit walk on Sunday, but even during the event, you can go into these garages, talk to the drivers, see the cars up close and personal. You get to do things at these events that you have never, ever been able to do at any motorsports event, especially at COTA. Anyone who's been to COTA for a race, let's call it Formula One, MotoGP, you're on the other side. Don't you dare get near those garages because trust me, security will show you back to your car.
Oh, yes.
Unless hey, you bought the you big bucks badge. Tickets. Yeah. Hey, Cuban, I want to ask
you. Speaking of tickets,
yeah,
$20 at the box office, but if you buy them online now, they're only $10. So if you guys want to bring your family, if you have four, five, six people you want to come with, do it now for $10. It basically cuts your costs in half. People are slowly but surely understanding we're not in this for the money, guys. We're not here to make $1 million. We're in this for the love of the motorsport. So we don't need to, you know, kill you on pricing to get in. And we don't need you to think that, oh man, I got to spend $290 to get in the COTA tomorrow. No, get in with your family. $10 a ticket online. Buy them now.
Hey, I wanna, so, you know, go ahead, Les.
One of the things that's going on is there haven't been any giant spectator events at COTA in quite a while. This is pretty much kicking the door open for 2021. And here it is, folks. We've been waiting on it since last year to have a time when you're invited. You're the doors are open. You're invited back. Come on.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's amazing for us. I know the COTA facility, when we first reached out to do the first event, they looked at us and went, I don't know. Well, now they're super happy to have us back every year. You've been there. It's big. I have seen what the paddock looks like in a World Challenge race, and I am blessed to say that we have more fans, and this is a grassroots thing. So I just want to go over it again. And, you know, we already talked about the rocket ships, but there's going to be this amazing C5 built for Unlimited class by Life Motorsport that built that GTR that holds the record. So they're bringing two cars. We have cars that have been setting records across the states to compete with each other. We are here to show the world that these grassroots teams can go faster than you could ever imagine.
Yeah, because I think I remember like a lap time of like 207 at COTA, which is crazy. I mean, we're talking F4 level or faster maybe.
It is the fastest tin top production car ever to go around COTA. It was faster than the NASA LMP time. NASA's LMP car, the fastest car NASA had at their nationals ever at COTA, went slower than his Nissan GTR.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, and I thought about something. You know, the fans in the stands and the people wanting to come out and see it, obviously there's going to be a car that they can relate to. Maybe they're a Mustang guy, they're a Camaro guy, they're a Corvette guy, or a Porsche guy, or whatever kind of guy or gal. But also, they're going to be able to go up and talk to the guys that built these cars, the guys and gals, because they're going to go, well, what can I do to my car? Can I bolt on a supercharger? Can I do heads and cam or whatever it is, or bigger turbos or whatever? So, but all those, they're going to have access to the people that built the cars, aren't they?
Well, you nailed it. That's actually what got me into the sport. This is why I do what I love. I went to the first Super Lap Battle, as it was called, when Super Street ran into Button Willow, and I said, what in the world am I looking at right now? And yeah, they look like rocket ships until you look back and go, wow, he bought that at a dealership. This isn't a body in white. This isn't a Porsche Cup car. Okay. This is a dealership bought car that is racing in these series. It is our goal. And I know we're running short on time, but I know you guys are going to understand this. Motorsports in this state, in this country, is dying. Okay. It just really is. The younger generation is not coming up to the table like we did. I used to go to newsstands to grab newspapers with this stuff in it. Now it's on the internet, it's boring. But I want everyone to know, go to superlapbattleusa.com, check out exactly what's going on. Keep up with us. If you can't make it to COTA, the live stream is there. It'll be on Facebook, YouTube, follow us on Instagram. We will make sure that you have all the coverage. And it's nonstop, guys. It's Superlap Battle coverage. It's GridLife Touring Cup. Our drone will be covering the drifting and the car show. Get there. Superlap Battle USA, $10 online. Anything you guys need, don't hesitate to reach out. The biggest thing I want to tell you guys is you're not too small to come to this, okay? This is not too big for you. Even if you want to build something in the future, come see what we're doing. It is life-changing.
Awesome. Cuban from the Super Lap Battle.
That changed my life, boys and girls. It changed my life.
All right, Cuban, thanks a lot. Thanks to everybody for coming on, and Willie T. Ribs and Jim Conrad, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao, y'all.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Super Lap Battle USA is back at Circuit of the Americas March 6th and 7th. It's the ultimate time attack challenge, where top drivers compete for the fastest lap times in fully tuned track-built cars, featuring a GridLife Touring Cup, Lone Star Track ride-alongs, food trucks, a Just Vibes car show, and more. Plus, the Life Motorsports Nissan GTR is back to defend its time of 207-181. It's a whole weekend of family fun. Tickets are $10 online, $20 at the box office. Find out more at superlapbattleusa.com.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
This is Alex Gurney. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we are very excited to have our next guest because there is a really cool event coming to Circuit of the Americas March 5th through the 7th. Super Lap Battle, and we want to welcome Cuban back to show. Cuban, welcome back to Speed City.
Speed City, I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me. Twice before an event this year? I mean, man, what is it? Do I get three next year?
Well, I'm back. We'll see. Yeah, we'll get you. Come on now.
Hey, well, just in case somebody missed the last segment, tell everybody all about what Super Lap Battle is.
Absolutely. So first off, thanks for having us back again, guys. We really appreciate you. You've supported us a lot. I mean, I could tell you guys love motorsports, and you could tell we love motorsports. So Super Lap Battle Circuits of the America is the biggest time attack event in the United States. It was made to give our grassroots guys a Formula One experience for what they love. It's something that is very rare in grassroots motorsports. You guys have been in motorsports forever. You understand us lowly grassroots guys get back-end track days, get our little competitions. Well, the guys, our whole team, our fearless leader, Jason, that you've talked to many a time, he wanted to put on an experience for all of the grassroots guys. But not just them, an experience for fans to understand what the sport is. So for anyone listening that doesn't know, Time attack in the simplest form is perpetual qualifying. If you guys are wheel-to-wheel guys, you know that on qualifying day, you're going 10 tenths to give yourself the best starting position. Doesn't matter if it's a 24-hour race or a one-hour sprint. You want to be in the best place. Well, time attack is you versus the clock. It doesn't matter if it's the first lap of the first session. If you're broken the whole event except for the last lap of the last session, the fastest time counts. And it brings a lot of drama because we have guys building cars to the tilt who end up having issues because when you build a car that deep, they don't even put a lap down for most of the event. Then all of a sudden put down the fastest lap of the event. And it's exciting for us. But also to bring motorsports guys in, we have a touring car series, Grid Life Touring Cup. They're bringing their wheel-to-wheel series for the second year.
Cool.
They'll have a practice session, a qualifying session, and I believe three or four races through the weekend. If that's not your cup of tea, Lone Star Drift. They're having a drift demo in the support paddock along with ride-alongs. If you love beautiful cars, Just Vibes will have their car show there this year, along with the food trucks and just the overall fun of being back in motorsports in the United States after the world fell apart. Number five, the first Cars and Coffee that COTA has had since the pandemic will be there on Sunday. So you know it's going to be blown up.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, and so this, I mean, I could think of people that are motorsport fans loving it, car fans, and just somebody wanting to do something fun for that weekend. It's something that's totally different from going to whatever event you've ever been to, because this is a thing that's very unique, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. We try to bring as many motorsport related things together. We are obviously a time attack organization. It's what we love, but we are more than that, motorsports people. And anyone who's been in grassroots long enough knows it's a family event. This isn't IMSA. This isn't NASCAR. We don't have multi-billion dollar teams. This is husband and wife working their butts off to get to the event. This is kids wrenching with their dads. This is family members coming to support. And it gives people like me who love motorsports a chance to bring my family into it, for them to see what we love. We're not at some back road track where it takes 2 hours to get there. It's in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing around. Though I still do that, don't get me wrong, but I don't expect the public to just on a whim say, I want to go to Button Willow, California, that is 2 hours away from anything and smells like dirty cow. Amazing track, it smells like dirty cow. Where
you know, what I thought was so cool about it is get to walk through all the garages. That wasn't anything special. You can get up and get near the front edges of the garages, see everything going on, meeting several of the drivers and competitors there. There were a lot of guys building theirs in one and two car garages at the house. And so, you know, these are grassroots guys. You know, I'm sure there's some big budgets mixed in there, but what really got my heart into this is seeing the creativity, what they do to their cars, the fact that they're, you know, they're ordinary guys like you probably live by, in their one or two car garages, knocking out some wickedly fast vehicles.
100%. And even if you see shop names, like, guys, I run a shop for a living. Let's just be clear. Just because we run a shop does not mean we have $1 million. We budget this. We pull it out of our pocket when we want to get there. You will see some big names that people will see as, oh, this must be a multi-million dollar team, when really it's these guys just working their butts off. And like you said, the experience. I always tell people, I'm a Southern California native. I've been going to the Long Beach Grand Prix for 20 straight years, except for this last one, it was canceled. You have to pay to get into the Indy paddock. You have to pay to be near these drivers. Yes, IMSA lets you walk in, but they're still gated off and roped off. You can't really touch anything. We have a pit walk on Sunday, but even during the event, you can go into these garages, talk to the drivers, see the cars up close and personal. You get to do things at these events that you have never ever been able to do at any motorsports event, especially at COTA. Anyone who's been to COTA for a race, let's call it Formula One, MotoGP, you're on the other side. Don't you dare get near those garages, because trust me, security will show you back to your car.
Oh, yes.
Unless you bought the big bucks tickets. Yeah. Hey, Cuban, I'm going to ask
you. Speaking of tickets,
yeah,
$20 at the box office, but if you buy them online now, they're only $10. So if you guys want to bring your family, if you have four, five, six people you want to come with, do it now for $10. It basically cuts your costs in half. People are slowly but surely understanding we're not in this for the money, guys. We're not here to make $1 million. We're in this for the love of the motorsport. So we don't need to, you know, kill you on pricing to get in. And we don't need you to think that, oh, man, I got to spend $290 to get in a COTA tomorrow. No, get in with your family. $10 a ticket online. Buy them now.
Hey, I wanna, so, you know, go ahead, Les.
One of the things that's going on is
There haven't been any giant spectator events at COTA in quite a while. This is pretty much kicking the door open for 2021. And here it is, folks. We've been waiting on it since last year to have a time when you're invited. You're the doors are open. You're invited back. Come on.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's amazing for us. I know the COTA facility, when we first reached out to do the first event, they looked at us and went, I don't know. Well, now they're super happy to have us back every year. You've been there. It's big. I have seen what the paddock looks like in a World Challenge race, and I am blessed to say that we have more fans, and this is a grassroots thing. So I just want to go over it again. And, you know, we already talked about the rocket ships, but there's going to be this amazing C5 built for Unlimited class by Life Motorsport that built that GTR that holds the record. So they're bringing two cars. We have cars that have been setting records across the states to compete with each other. We are here to show the world that these grassroots teams can go faster than you could ever imagine.
Yeah, because I think I remember like a lap time of like 207 at COTA, which is crazy. I mean, we're talking F4 level or faster maybe.
It is the fastest tin top production car ever to go around COTA. It was faster than the NASA LMP time. NASA's LMP car, the fastest car NASA had at their nationals ever at COTA, went slower than his Nissan GTR.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, and I thought about something. You know, the fans in the stands and the people wanting to come out and see it, obviously there's going to be a car that they can relate to. Maybe they're a Mustang guy, they're a Camaro guy, they're a Corvette guy, or a Porsche guy, or whatever kind of guy or gal. But also, they're going to be able to go up and talk to the guys that built these cars, the guys and gals, because they're going to go, well, what can I do to my car? Can I bolt on a supercharger? Can I do heads and cam or whatever it is, or bigger turbos or whatever? So, they're going to have access to the people that built the cars, aren't they?
Well, you nailed it. That's actually what got me into the sport. This is why I do what I love. I went to the first Super Lap Battle, as it was called, when Super Street ran into Buttonwillow, and I said, what in the world am I looking at right now? And yeah, they look like rocket ships until you look back and go, wow, he bought that at a dealership. This isn't a body in white. This isn't a Porsche Cup car, okay? This is a dealership-bought car that is racing in these series. It is our goal. And I know we're running short on time, but I know you guys are going to understand this. Motorsports in this state, in this country, is dying, okay? It just really is. The younger generation is not coming up to the table like we did. I used to go to newsstands to grab newspapers with this stuff in it. Now it's on the internet, it's boring. But I want everyone to know, go to superlapbattleusa.com, check out exactly what's going on, keep up with us. If you can't make it to COTA, the live stream is there. It'll be on Facebook, YouTube, follow us on Instagram. We will make sure that you have all the coverage. And it's nonstop, guys. It's Super Lap Battle coverage. It's Grid Life Touring Cup. Our drone will be covering the drifting and the car show. Get there, Super Lap Battle USA, $10 online. Anything you guys need, don't hesitate to reach out. The biggest thing I want to tell you guys is you're not too small to come to this, okay? This is not too big for you. Even if you want to build something in the future, come see what we're doing. It is life-changing.
Awesome. Cuban from the Super Lap Battle.
He's my life, boys and girls. He changed my life.
All right, Cuban, thanks a lot. Thanks to everybody for coming on, and Willie T. Ribs and Jim Conrad. And we'll talk to you next Sunday night.
Ciao, y'all.